Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, January 12th. Coming up on today's show, we'll bring you some highlights from Monday's Sackville Town Council meeting, and we'll hear from some local parents as classes resume for 2 weeks of online schooling for their kids. We'll also hear from Memram Cook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten about why she thinks New Brunswick should be upping public health restrictions as case counts skyrocket. But first, the news was dire in a technical briefing yesterday from New Brunswick's Department of Health. Matsio Shalifu, lead COVID-19 epidemiologist with public health, presented projections for case counts and hospitalizations in the next few months, showing a steep curve peaking at the end of January or beginning of February.
At our peak weeks, we can expect over 5,000 New Brunswickers developing the disease daily. Over a five-day period, this would be about 25,000 individuals. Assuming 2.3 individuals per household, this could mean over 7%, or approximately 55,000 people, isolating at any given moment.
Unlike the last projections presented by the province, these account for the increased transmissibility of the Omicron variant, which is now dominant in the province. Shalifu acknowledged that case counts are based on PCR testing and so are underreported. But increasingly, the more important metric is the number of people that will need to be admitted to hospital with COVID-19.
The Omicron variant is highly transmissible, and though milder than the Delta variant, it is by no means mild. For every 1,000 cases under Delta, we would have expected 60 admissions. With Omicron, we now expect 10. While better, this is still enough to put our health system at risk due to the sheer volume of cases.
On Tuesday, a new record high of 88 people were in hospital with COVID-19 in the province. Shalifu showed a projection that would see the number rise to 200 by January 26th, just 2 weeks away. The number of people in hospital has not yet skyrocketed in this province, as it has in places like Ontario and Quebec, but Shalifu is not expecting that New Brunswick will dodge the national curve.
This experience is not unique to New Brunswick. In fact, in many ways, this is the first truly national experience of COVID-19 we have had since the beginning of the pandemic.
That's public health epidemiologist Matthew Shalifu. Horizon interim CEO John Dornan was also on hand at Tuesday's briefing and echoed the concern that rates of hospitalization seen in other parts of Canada could soon be the reality here.
We are at the start of a very high tidal wave. It's creeping up now, but in the next 2-3 weeks, it's going to crash over us like no one's business. We have seen rises in cases in adjacent provinces, Ontario, Quebec. There's no reason to believe that we are not going to be affected in the same way. And to not be prepared for that would be irresponsible.
You might think that the alarming prospect of this tidal wave would mean that New Brunswick would soon be moving into the third phase of its winter plan, which would see the suspension of in-person dining and non-essential retail and the return of the single household bubble, at least as it is currently formulated. But the province made no such announcement on Tuesday. Instead, there was a strong appeal to New Brunswickers to reduce their close contacts of their own accord without additional restrictions in place. Shalifu presented alternative projections for the Omicron wave, which showed the reduction in hospitalizations that would result with a 10% and 20% reduction in the rate of close contacts among New Brunswickers.
Able to reduce our contacts through either seeing fewer people, distancing appropriately, or wearing well-fitted masks inside, then our peak may be cut by a third of what would happen without any changes in public behavior. As I said earlier, Omicron is much more contagious than the other variants we have seen. It is everywhere in this province, and we need to assume that everyone we come in contact with could have it.
John Dornan suggested a practical way to think about this reduction in contacts for everyday New Brunswickers.
You know, I try to think about it in realistic terms. What if for the next 10 people I might be in contact with at a grocery store, or other words, what if I cut that back by 3 people? And every time considered, what people I needed to cut back.
New Brunswick's chief public health officer was also on hand at Tuesday's briefing and answered questions from reporters about why the province was not yet implementing the final phase of its winter plan. Jennifer Russell said public health is following the situation very closely and trying to balance the risks of what's happening with unintended consequences of more restricted measures.
The briefing today is really about how to make sure that New Brunswickers understand the situation as it is today, what actions they can take personally, again, around keeping their close contacts low, getting vaccinated, getting boosted, et cetera. Those are really important things to keep in mind right now, and we will continue to monitor the situation extremely closely.
Russell said the triggers in place for Level 3 of the winter plan are meant to trigger a reassessment of the situation and not necessarily a move to Level 3. In fact, she is hoping the province can avoid it.
You know, we would like to avoid having to go to Level 3. It's the other part of this briefing today is really around what can the population of New Brunswick do right now collectively and individually to protect the healthcare system to avoid having us go to Level 3. So as I mentioned before, our triggers haven't changed. The triggers are about having the risk assessment being done. We're following the situation extremely closely, and we will continue to do so.
Chalifoux ended his remarks Tuesday with a somewhat hopeful call to action.
The next few weeks will be intense, but they will not last forever. We will get through this. My message to New Brunswickers today is this. The best way to prevent COVID-19 right now is to reduce your contacts. This small action will protect your family, reduce strain on the healthcare system, and protect our economy.
That's New Brunswick Public Health Epidemiologist Mathieu Chalifoux. The vaccination rollout continues with the occasional clinic happening right in Sackville at the Visitor Information Center. Public Health has now added clinics for Sackville to help make up for canceled appointments during Friday's snowstorm. If your appointment was canceled and you haven't received a new appointment from Public Health, you can call or email vnb@gnb.ca to reschedule. As of Tuesday night, there were Pfizer appointments available tomorrow on January 13th, and both Moderna and Pfizer available on January 24th. Pfizer booster doses are being reserved for people 12 to 29 years old because of risk of complications in that age group. People 30 and over will receive Moderna for booster shots. One area of life where the government is exercising increased caution during this Omicron wave is in public schools. CHMA reporter David Gordon Koch caught up with some local parents to bring us this report.
As classes resumed in New Brunswick on Tuesday with online learning, many parents expressed frustration, saying their children struggle to learn from home. Other concerns include balancing childcare with work and social isolation for kids. In December, the provincial government announced the move away from in-person classes to curb the rapid spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. CHMA reached out to parents to ask how their family will be affected. Sackville resident Angela Larson has a 10-year-old son who normally has an educational assistant at school. He needs special encouragement to get his schoolwork done, she said.
I work shift work, so I'm here sometimes, but the other times my mother is watching him, so I don't want to burden her with having to argue with him about doing his work. So those days, it doesn't get done.
Larson said she didn't expect schools would close except in case of a full lockdown, so parents would be able to stay with their kids. Cheryl Colbert is the parent of a 15-year-old daughter with a learning disability. Colbert said she's expecting a very frustrating time without one-on-one help for her daughter. Colbert works from home, but it's still difficult to provide the necessary support, she said.
Because my work schedule does not work around the school schedule. So I'm at work and I'm really busy and I don't have time to sit down and try to help.
Education Minister Dominic Cardy has acknowledged the education of students in New Brunswick has suffered because of online learning. According to Cardy, the most vulnerable students, such as those at risk of dropping out or not having enough food at home, will still be able to access schools in person. Colbert believes her daughter should have been included in that group.
It's really hard for her to focus in an online setting. She needs the actual one-on-one interaction.
She also questioned how low-income families would manage, particularly if they lack a high-speed internet connection. The provincial government previously said the measures will be in place for 2 weeks and then will be reassessed weekly. For CHMA, this is David Gordon Koch.
In his report to council on Monday night, Mayor Sean Michaud said he's had several meetings on various healthcare issues affecting the Sackville community and warned that social media posts claiming the imminent closure of the Sackville Memorial Hospital are unfounded. Michaud said he's been in discussions with Ambulance NB and the Department of Health about the possibility of allowing ambulances across the border into Nova Scotia in some emergency situations. He also mentioned two meetings involving the Rural Health Action Group, one in mid-December with Horizon officials focusing on recruitment, and one more recently with neighboring mayors talking about the future of the action group. As for warnings on posters and in social media posts that the Sackville Hospital is in danger of imminent closure, Michaud called them false statements.
One thing I wanted to bring forward, and something that's been seen social media-wise and posted through our community, is a false statement on the fact that Sackville Memorial Hospital is in danger of closing. That is not the case.
Posters have appeared in downtown Sackville making the claim and listing the contact information for various public officials to contact to protest the closure of the hospital. Michaud supported the idea of contacting election officials, but also warned that the rumor of an imminent closure could have negative side effects.
I think that's always important. It's always important to send your concerns to the Premier, to the Health Minister, to our MLA, to ensure that our voices are being heard. However, when statements of this nature are made, it actually is undermining to the hard work that the volunteers on the Rural Action Health Group and the Horizon managers are doing in trying to mitigate the staffing issues here in Sackville. So it's very important to keep that in mind, that the hospital is not at risk of closing, that there are difficulties happening right now, and there are many people working towards trying to right that.
Councillor Sabine Dietz sits on the Rural Health Action Group and told council on Monday that the group is very active and has been meeting fairly regularly. Dietz said the group's work has been divided into five areas, each with its own lead person in place.
One is recruitment and retention. And as you're aware, the town of Sackville is contributing to that piece. The second one is creating a community fund and incentives also linked to recruitment and retention. The third one is the morale at the hospital. The fourth one is communications, and that's overall, including with the community itself. And the fifth one is the approach, future approach to services delivered at the Memorial Hospital. So like I mentioned, all of them have lead individuals, lead volunteers that are moving those different areas forward. So as the mayor mentioned, there's a lot going on, a lot of good work happening, and there's still a lot of good communications with Horizon Health, of course, and collaboration.
That was Councillor Sabine Dietz speaking at council on Monday. The town of Sackville has installed new facial recognition surveillance cameras at the Bill Johnstone Memorial Park Activity Center. On Monday evening, Public Works boss Dwayne Acton told council that the system is an upgrade from the previous cameras designed to give more detail in the event of property damage or theft.
One of the difficulties that we've had over the years is the amount of vandalism at the building, in the washrooms and around the park has been substantial. The cameras that are there are kind of outdated, and they've never been able to. The RCMP cannot utilize the cameras to give enough detail to explore or to take it any further. So as part of all these break and enters, we reviewed internally the situation down there and felt it warranted that we would spend some operational money to upgrade those cameras to something a little more substantial to give us the ability to, when there is vandalism at the facility. And I know over the last year, the building has almost burnt down twice, where the fire department has been called to put out a fire that was started in the washrooms. So these cameras, we felt, needed to be substantial enough to be able to give us some facial recognition or at least some details that the RCMP could use to potentially track down the vandalism individuals.
Councillor Sabine Dietz raised concerns over citizens' privacy, but Treasurer Michael Beale assured the council that cameras are not connected to the internet, data is erased after a period of time, and images are only viewed in case of an incident. CAO Jamie Burke told counsel that the camera in Bill Johnstone, the cameras in Bill Johnstone are just the first to be replaced, and that other security upgrades are coming.
We've had other areas of our operations that have been recently broken into where we've had substantial loss, where we're going through our insurance provider to try and recoup some of that. So I just want to make sure it's clear that it is our intention to continue to upgrade our security systems in some of our facilities, not all outdoor spaces, of course, with the same type of system, so that if we do get word of a break and enter and we are at a loss, then we do have some evidence that we can turn over to the RCMP that they can then pass along to the Crown to proceed with prosecution of these individuals.
At the end of November, the town's garage was broken into and equipment stolen and vehicles vandalized. The Sackville RCMP have not responded to a request for information about the investigation. On Monday, the Green Party caucus called on the provincial government to increase restrictions in parts of the province facing extremely high case counts. A news release from the Green caucus cited nearly full ICUs in both the St. John and Georges Dumont hospitals and argued that an increase to some Level 3 restrictions could reduce community spread and pave the way for students to go back to school and ensure healthcare workers are better protected. Level 3 of New Brunswick's winter plan includes moving to essential retail only in person and contactless pickup or delivery for restaurants and other retail. Level 3 also includes limited households to a single bubble. I called up Memram Cook-Tanchamar MLA Megan Mitten to find out more. So the Greens are calling for the province to consider moving to Level 3, at least in certain areas of the province. Why are you making that call?
Well, and what we're calling for is for some of the Level 3 measures that would be especially useful at this point to be implemented in the zones that really have so many cases. And we're looking at measures like currently venues can have up to 150 people gathering. And we know that cases that Omicron is spreading really quickly, that cases are out of control. And so what we're saying is we need to get the spread under control and at least slow it down. And it seems like we've forgotten this flatten the curve language and idea, but we need to slow down the spread of Omicron. And really, this is about protecting our hospital capacity, protecting healthcare workers, and protecting those who are really vulnerable still. There are a lot of people who can't get vaccinated, children under 5 and even children 5 to 11 in this area aren't eligible for their second dose of the vaccine yet. And so it's really about slowing the spread right now. And then implementing measures to make things safer, to get things back to where they need to be so that kids can go back to class safely. I would also add that it's really, unfortunately, we haven't had the type of communication that I think we need from our government. We haven't had regular press conferences, and we have had, I would say they've really fumbled some of the rollout of things recently and some of the communications that are really necessary. And I think that is really essential, as we're really facing one of the worst times in the pandemic. But this is, I'd say, you know, just as serious or more serious, really, in terms of cases and everything in New Brunswick than when the pandemic started. But there doesn't seem to be the same level of resources mobilized to address it and to communicate that what's happening to the public.
You mentioned that you'd like to see some of the Level 3 measures put into place. Level 3 does include a return to a single household bubble, and it includes restaurants and non-essential retail moving to sort of contactless pickup again. Is that, are you thinking that that's maybe what's called for?
So I would say that no to the single household bubble. I don't think that that is really has ever really been reasonable, especially for people who still might need childcare, people who need other types of care, people who live alone. So I think that, you know, they've tweaked all the other levels of the winter plan since it came out. Why not tweak this level as well? And so playing around with exactly what that means in terms of single household bubble, I don't think we need to go to that point. And I don't, what I would say is that public health, I would hope, I would have the information needed to make some decisions to where is the transmission happening? Unfortunately, with the capacity for PCRs, they've said it's maxed out and they've restricted access to that. The rapid testing has been restricted as well and hasn't been reported, really. So I'm wondering if they even know where the transmission's happening, but we've been told to basically assume it's everywhere around us. And so what that means is that we need to really slow it down more. I would like to have more information from public health made public around where exactly is transmission happening and where are outbreaks happening. I think that I saw a journalist, I believe, asked and was able to find out that Prompt has been dispatched to some outbreaks, that there are some outbreaks in some long-term care facilities, for example. We need some more information about what's happening in those settings as well.
Okay. So you'd like to see level three tweaked and more communication coming from the province.
Yeah. And what I would add, too, is that I would argue that the support from government when there were the lockdowns, when there were a lot more restrictions in the past, especially from the New Brunswick government, was kind of a joke. It was not a lot of support at all. And so I would say accompanying these measures would be some support for small businesses. We also need paid sick leave for employees that don't have it. Some more support for childcare. There are people who are facing really difficult situations right now around childcare, around work, or being put in a situation where they need to self-isolate. And so we basically need to keep supporting people. The pandemic's not over. We need to keep supporting people to get through it.
All right. Thanks very much, Megan. I appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Take care.
And finally, before we leave you today, with extremely cold temperatures hitting New Brunswick on Tuesday, NB Power asked residents to reduce their energy consumption. The utility says that during periods of peak energy demand, it uses its most expensive and least green energy to power New Brunswick. In an email to customers, NB Power said in-province demand was expected to reach 3,300 megawatts early Wednesday morning. That's more than twice the energy consumed on a summer morning. Peak demand generally happens between 6 and 9 in the morning and between 4 and 8 in the afternoon. To help avoid using peak energy, NB Power recommends residents turn down the heat in rooms they're not using, take shorter showers, or remove them till later in the day. Running dishwashers and machines and washing machines overnight or midday can also help beat the peak, says the utility. NB Power also recommends using alternative sources of heating, such as wood stoves and fireplaces. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, January 12th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.